Listening and note-taking. You will listen to a presentation about art forgery, the crime of making copies of valuable works of art in order to make money by selling them. Listen and take notes under the prompts given. Later, you will use your notes to answer some questions. You will listen once. Now you have 30 seconds to look at the prompts. Now listen.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Artwork, especially those produced by famous artists, are worth a fortune. This painting you see on the slide, Garçon à la Pipe, was painted by Picasso, and it was sold for nearly $104 million at an auction in 2004. In the next slide, you can see a painting by Pollock. It is titled Number 5. And was sold for $140 million in 2016. I'm not the authority to discuss the worth of a piece of artwork, and this is not what I'll do today. Instead, I'll talk about how difficult it may be to authenticate a piece of artwork. Does the painting really belong to Picasso, or is it an ingenious example of art forgery? At times, even art experts fail to identify art forgery. I am Faruk Gencer, and I study architecture at our university. Today, I'll present you a famous art forgery case, which demonstrates the difficulty of detecting art forgery. Well, there are different ways to do art fraud. One type of art fraud is creating a piece of artwork and selling it as an original by someone famous. In my presentation, I'll describe a famous art forgery case of this kind. So, let's talk about the art fraud case. In 1946, in Paris, a Hungarian named Elmer de Hory sold a Picasso drawing to Lady Campbell from Britain for a little less than $100. Yes, you have heard it right, a Picasso painting for less than $100. The story does not end here, of course. Shortly thereafter, Hory began selling other Picassos to art galleries around Paris. One would wonder how he got hold of all these paintings. Well, he answered this question by explaining that he inherited them from his parents. He stated that his family had been aristocratic Jews killed in the Holocaust, and the remarkable pieces of artwork were what is left from their possessions before their imprisonment. As you would have guessed, the aristocratic Jew family was made up. So, what do you think the real story was? Hory created all of these masterpieces himself. Later, using the money he made, Hory traveled, selling other pieces of artwork for even larger sums. He sold works from Picasso, Matisse, and Renoir. Now, let me present the reasons why it took so long for the authorities to track him down. A key to his success was that he didn't reproduce existing works, but drew and painted new pieces in the style of the great artists. This trick, that is, avoiding imitating existing artworks and instead composing new pieces by copying famous artists' style, is what distinguishes him from many other art forgers. He took other precautions as well. For instance, he used pseudonyms and sold artwork through the mail. These techniques enabled him to stay one step ahead of authorities for many years. Although at times Hory struggled to become a celebrity artist in his own right, he continued to find more success in forgery. He suffered through occasional legal battles when deceptions were detected and was essentially on the run throughout Europe. At this point, let's turn our attention to his years in Spain. After traveling around Europe, Hory decided to go to Spain and face the charges against him. Though the courts in Spain tried to convict him of numerous charges, Jorge got a sentence of only 2 months in jail. If you think his punishment was too mild, well, I agree. But this was so because, first, no one could prove that he had created any of the fake artwork within Spanish borders. Second, there were the questions about the legality of calling his works forgeries. This was because Jorge rarely signed the works with the name of the artist he was imitating. His crimes made Jorge infamous, and once he was released from prison, guess what happened? The value of his forgeries increased. Not only that, but his celebrity created public interest in his own artwork. He appeared on television shows, and the author and reporter Clifford Irving wrote his biography in 1969. But in late 1976, when Spanish authorities decided to hand him over to France, he took an overdose of sleeping pills and ended his life. It's unknown how many forgeries he created or how many are still in circulation and presumed authentic. All in all, as you can see in Jorge's case, it's not always easy to detect art forgery. So next time you're admiring a piece of artwork, you may wonder if it is authentic or forged by a skillful art forger like Jorge.
This is the end of the talk. Now, your teacher will hand out the questions. Use your notes to answer them.